time. And by the way, Kofi Fee. But that's right. Trump wanted Nielsen to block all migrants from claiming asylum, which, by the way, is against U.S. law. And even though people have said the United States needs to provide refuge to people who are fleeing poverty and crime, Trump has made it clear that he doesn't believe their stories at all.
The asylum program is a scam. Some of the roughest people you've ever seen. People that look like they should be fighting for the UFC. Give him asylum. He's afraid. He's afraid. We don't love the fact that he's got tattoos on his face. That's not a good sign.
Okay, look, I'll be honest. I get where Trump is coming from. If I see someone with tattoos on their face, I get uncomfortable. Because I know they're going to try and sell me their mixtape, you know? Yeah, they'll say it's free, but then they look at me funny when I start walking away. And then I'm like, should I have taken this? I've made a horrible mistake. Anyway, look, the point is, Trump is clearly ignoring all the women and children who are claiming asylum. He's obsessed with the pictures of the guys who look to him like UFC fighters, which also might explain why he wants everyone in cages. He thinks it's their natural habitat. And this shouldn't be surprising to us, because here's the thing about Donald Trump that you have to understand. To him, it's all about how people look. If you look like a big, tough guy, you can't be an asylum seeker in his mind. He wants people who look how he expects them to look, which is why he gets so excited when he meets someone in the real world who looks like a character from the movies.
These are central casting. If I'm doing a movie, I pick you, General Mattis.
NRCC chair, Tom Emmer. This guy's like central casting. You couldn't pick a better guy in Hollywood. There's no actor.
You talk central casting, these guys, you couldn't, I mean, it's incredible. They had a master sergeant there. I could take him right now, bring him to Hollywood, make a military movie, and he's the star of the movie. That happened once before, you know.
Central casting, you can't cast
him.
What do you have? You don't have anybody in Hollywood that looks like these guys.
He's got 10 people standing behind him. Everyone is central casting. Central casting. Glasses, pad, boom.
I was the perfect person. I was, like, central casting.
Really? You were central casting as president? I mean, I get as president in a Sharknado movie, maybe, yes. I mean, we've got to stop these sharks, folks. I get that. But you see, it's really simple. And if anything, this is a great lesson for the migrants. Because it's not your story or your life that President Trump cares about. It's just how you look. Here's my advice. When you show up to the border, you just need to look like the people Trump wants to see in America. So guys, grab an oversized suit, get a long red tie, and while you're at it, throw a tumbleweed up there as a wig. Yeah. Once Trump sees a million hims trying to get into America, forget a wall. He's going to build a ramp straight into the U.S. It's me! Let me in!
Thanks this week for the
song
from
Bob Dylan,
The
Grateful
Dead,
and Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Rudy Giuliani, Seth Myers,
the
Trevor Noah,
and
Stephen Colbert.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Can you hear me over here in
the
corner?
Oh, Ellen, we'd be at a total loss without you. That's Ellen Thurston, of course. I'm Tom DiPietro. It's the Thursday afternoon show. And we have a guest, Chris Lindstrom from Cycle Effect. So we're going to find out why he's here, what he does, and what's going to happen.
All right.
So there is an event this Sunday at Basilica called the Basilica Green Energy Fair. Regenerating planet, people, and economy. Regenerating people? You're going to, like, Is it going to be like the Reanimator movies?
But, I mean, we're including the word regenerating in part because a lot of people these days are looking to go beyond sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word sustainable kind of connotes keeping things level.
Right.
Whereas we've shot way past
right.
where we need to be.
Right.
You know, in terms of carbon in the atmosphere, in terms of biodiversity loss, in terms of acidity in the oceans, in terms of general angst and dis-ease amongst human beings on the planet in relationship to their own lives, in relationship to each other. So we're saying we need to regenerate livelihoods and regenerate a world that is conducive to life rather than extractive
and
depleting it.
You're going
to
achieve all this in 5 hours on Sunday.
Well, we're opening, we're trying to plant a seed in Hudson. You
uh-huh.
know, we're, you know, Melissa and I have been in conversation for about 6 months now. And,
Melissa Uftemar,
Uftemar,
co-director
yes,
of Basilica Hudson.
Basilica, that's correct, yep. And then I've connected with Sun Common.
What's Sun
Common? She's been working with. Sun Common is a solar photovoltaics installer in the Hudson Valley
mm-hmm.
that originally was Hudson, I think Hudson Valley Solar, and then they merged with a company in Vermont called Sun Common. So they're now kind of a regional big player in that space. But, yeah.
And that's so, just a solar provider?
Solar provider,
installer. All that kind of stuff.
All that kind of stuff, yeah.
So there's a bunch of representatives going to be there. You're from Cycle Effect. What is Cycle Effect?
So Cycle Effect is a what I call a venture cooperative. We invest in startup companies that are focusing on building a regenerative economy. And by that, I mean companies that are looking at going beyond sustainable. You know, how do we generate energy while also putting carbon in the soil? How can we produce food while also putting carbon in the soil?
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, putting carbon back in the ground uh-huh. Uh-huh. is like priority
crucial.
Number
right.
one. But, you know, we're also aware that we can't do that without providing a living, an environment for people that help people feel like they're taken care of. Because as long as people are feeling, you know, in a scarcity mindset, they tend to do irrational things.
Right.
So, you know, so we're trying to create a model. You know, we're not a worker cooperative, which is what I think a lot of people think of when they think of cooperatives or
mm-hmm.
a consumer cooperative, like the grocery cooperative.
Right.
But we're
are you a nonprofit?
We're a venture cooperative. We're not a nonprofit. We are a for-profit, but basically we've changed things around. Whereas most venture capital, you know, investors keep all the profits. We have a model where we give ownership to in our fund to the companies we invest in. So mm-hmm. we make the companies that we invest in a stakeholder in the larger pool of capital that we invest. So in doing that, we're hoping to incentivize a ecosystem of businesses
mm-hmm.
that are bound by a common mission, but also bound by an ethos that we all share in each other's success. You know, so if one company does really well, everyone else can participate in that. Now, right now, it's not like as large of a stake. You know, the cooperative pool is not as large of a stake as maybe we would like it to be one day.
Mm.
But, you know, we're trying to move in that direction. We're trying to give people, you know, a sense that we can do things differently, and that by using cooperative vehicles,
mm-hmm.
the cooperative business model, we can create something that kind of transcends the capitalism-socialism dichotomy, right, which has been sort of the source of so much adversity mm-hmm. in our world. So like, how do we? But ultimately, like, the bottom line is we have to work together. We have to collaborate. We have to find, you know.
So do you seek individual investors who aren't doing projects of their own?
Well, right now it's I'm the sole. Me and I'm pretty much the sole source of money. So I have a trust, and mm-hmm. That I've had since I was 21. You know, my you know, what brings me here. I'll give a little of my background.
Okay.
I'm a fifth generation descendant of John D. Rockefeller.
Oh.
So I come from a pretty, you know,
gotcha.
Big namesake. My mom is Abby Rockefeller, and she's
I'm very familiar.
You're familiar.
I'm
with that.
In fact, you're probably interested in this.
Yeah.
The latest issue of In These Times is completely devoted to the energy crisis. The conservation and all these issues. You should read that. And your mother, and I assume her partner Lee Halperin. Is that his name?
My stepfather.
My stepfather.
Yeah.
Are big supporters of that magazine.
I mean, In These Times.
Yeah.
I know.
And I've written for it a couple times.
We've been getting it. Been getting it for a long time. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So my mom, you know, she's a longtime environmentalist.
Gotcha.
You know, progressive thinker.
Sure. I read all about her efforts in terms of, how to put this, composting toilets.
Clevis Maltram.
Right.
Yeah.
Did she build the round barn in Churchtown?
Yeah, that's been her latest project is the Churchtown dairy. So you know, so this whole concept of regenerative agriculture kind of brings a lot of this stuff together.
Yeah,
you know, so we're actually going to be having a panel at the Green Energy Fair on regenerative agriculture, and you know, some of the key elements that we're trying to bring into the mix mm-hmm. with that, because. You know, we feel strongly that agriculture is, you know, has been a huge part of the problem, but it's also a huge part of the solution.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of changing our minds around it, you know.
It's so funny because the latest issue just came yesterday to me, and it had a number of articles just about this topic.
Yeah.
Because the entire issue is devoted to this. And it is about putting carbon back in the soil.
That's right.
Is crucial to staving off this possibility of there's something to do with like 1.5% versus 3%. Do you know what I'm talking about in terms of what that is?
1.5% versus 3%. You mean in terms of carbon in the soil?
Yeah. Or no, carbon in the
atmosphere.
Oh, in the atmosphere. Oh, yeah. Okay. So if a carbon in the atmosphere increases by 3%,
right.
We're toast.
Right.
Basically.
That's
yeah.
And they're trying to get it.
We're trying to curb that.
Right.
You know, we're
that illustrates the problem to me. Like,
I mean,
I may seem like an idiot, but I can understand some things.
Yeah,
and it's very hard sometimes to get your head around all these how this all works.
Totally.
It's a lot
of numbers, a lot of moving parts.
You familiar with the Citizens Climate Lobby people?
Yeah, heard of them. Yeah,
they gave a incredibly wonderful conference brought in a lot of speakers about this very thing, putting carbon back in the soil. It was aimed at farmers.
Yep.
And I remember when my father, who was a weekend gardener, but very devoted to all of his vegetable gardens, and he planted peanuts one year. And I said, peanuts? Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the north. We're not in the south.
Yeah.
And he was putting nitrogen, I think, or something back in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with peanuts.
Can you explain why it's important to get carbon back in the soil?
Because we've put so much carbon out into the atmosphere. And you know, that is contributing to global warming or climate change or whatever you want to call it. But it's, you know, which is now, according to the majority of scientists in the world, an existential threat. To humanity, you know, we are literally facing a potential extinction level event, you know, within the next 100 years,
right?
You know, based on a rapid and exponential unraveling of our biosphere. Yeah, because everything has been, all of life has been built on the foundation of a certain amount, a balance of molecules in our atmosphere, mm-hmm. you know, of oxygen and carbon and nitrogen, all these, you know, these things. And there's been a homeostatic relationship between our atmosphere, our air, the land, and the water. And now we're seeing our oceans are collapsing because the oceans are the first, you know, it's the canary in the coal mine. So the oceans naturally absorb excess carbon. And what that's doing is creating acidification. Because, you know, if you know anything about, you know, pH and whatnot, and, you know, acidity versus non-acidity, yeah, it has to do with the ratio of hydrogen versus other elements. And so adding carbon into water makes it more acidic. And that acidity is destroying the coral reefs. Mm-hmm. The acidity plus the temperature spikes and the temperature rise. You know, so the ocean is a buffer. You know, and we're seeing a pretty rapid and disturbing die-off of ocean ecosystems mm-hmm. right now. But right now, yeah. So that's the.
So your company, what kind of things have you invested in so far?
Well, we've been focusing on regenerative agriculture, energy, textiles, and sustainable and circular fiber, and health and wellness. Those are sort of the four sectors mm-hmm. that we've been focusing on.
Are any of those companies going to be at this event?
Yeah. Yep. We have a company called Propagate Ventures, which is now local to Hudson. Mm-hmm. They're actually the founders are living with me at the moment. We've been helping them get up and running at my mom's farm, Mud Creek Farm. And what they're trying to do is develop a model for perennial agriculture, mainly trees. But one of the things that people are discovering is that, you know, the more trees we can plant, the better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more perennial the more we can engage in perennial agriculture, the better. Because what that means is you're having a constant pump of carbon from the air into the soil, right? Whereas if you have annual agriculture and you're tilling the soil every year, then all that carbon that you're exposing to the air is going right up into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things a lot of people don't know about climate change is that, you know, half of climate change, half of the carbon that we've added to the atmosphere comes from agriculture, comes from tilling the soil.
Which is how I assume a lot of the agribusiness works?
Yeah. Agribusiness is based on a very simple formula of mining carbon and nutrients, you know, from the soil without really putting anything back. You know, I mean, they're putting back nitrogen and phosphorus in the form of, you know, sort of chemical fertilizer, which is akin to drinking Coca-Cola and thinking that you're getting all your nutrients. Mm-hmm. It's soil crack, you know. so you see that mentality, you know, everywhere, you know. I mean, that idea of reductionist thinking, where we're just trying to do the minimal amount to get the maximum gain, but, you know, gain in terms of a simple number, a quantity, you know, profit, whatever you want to call it, but it's completely has lost track for centuries of what is essential to life, which is, you know.
Right. So is this a question of planning better in terms of what you grow and when you grow it on a farm?
It means incorporating practices and methodologies, but most importantly, an understanding mm-hmm. of ecology and of soil biology and, you know, a number of things that you know, are critical to regeneration, the regeneration of carbon in the soil in the form of organic matter. So it's not enough to just put carbon back in the ground in like big blocks of carbon. You know, it's carbon is life, you know. So like my mom often says, like, it's not about getting past carbon. You know, people say in the environmental movement, you know, we need a post-carbon economy. Well, it's not that. No, we can't get away from carbon. Everything is carbon in life. So, you know, we need to return to a circular and regenerative economy. You know, that's different than, you know, just having solar and wind, which mm-hmm. has become the dominant form of energy in that conversation. So
let me tell our guest, though, interrupt you for a second. We're talking to Chris Lindstrom from Cycle Effect, and he is one of the organizers of an event this Sunday, April 14th, from 2 to 5, and it's free at Basilica. And his company will be represented there with a bunch of others. And the it's called the Basilica Green Energy Fair, but it's about regenerating the planet, the people, and our economy.
Yep.
Sun Common are solar. It's in collaboration with Sun Common and your company, Cycle Effect. Sun Common is a solar provider and installer. I see there'll be representatives from a number of groups that are both crowdfunding and trying to create alternative economies.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson Hemp, Hudson Carbon, Berkshire.
I want to talk about Hudson Hemp.
Okay, what do you got to say about that?
Well, this has been a major piece of the kind of the disruption that is happening in this country and in the world right now. And we're actually, I think, coming full circle, because what a lot of people don't know is that hemp was one of the crops that we built this country on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it got demonized by a load of bogus propaganda claiming that it was a drug, the devil's weed and whatnot. You know, meanwhile,
can you get high off of hemp?
No.
Oh
no, you can't. I mean, we're producing. So hemp got re-legalized in New York
two years ago. Right.
You know, Cuomo got bit by the hemp bug. And he, because he was seeing what was going on in Colorado and he has gotten behind it. And we were, I think we got the 10th license in the state, and now it's gone way beyond that. But I think that hemp has the ability to really help in regenerating.
Is this one of Cycle Effect's company?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
We've been part of, well, Mud Creek Farm and Hudson Hemp are part of Cycle Effect and have been, you know, supporting kind of the ecosystem of Cycle mm-hmm. Effect. And one of our beliefs is that, you know, hemp and cannabis have the ability to capitalize and move resources and money and energy toward a regenerative economy if we can, you know, galvanize enough people within that mm-hmm. sector to buy into it, you know, to buy into a regenerative economy and to develop the tools to do that. So we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, what is the necessary ecosystem that needs to be put in place. And by ecosystem, I mean economic ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
To radically move resources and energy from the old economy into a new economy. And it's a new economy because it's based on a different set of principles than the old economy.
I noticed here one of the things you're going to talk about is waste. And I, you know,
yeah.
In fact, that's where your mother's work.
That's
because,
right.
I think it was called The Big... I can't remember the name of the book, but it was a book about waste and how we treat garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, her efforts to develop composting toilets. And the obstacles have been enormous in this effort, not just, you know, in terms of right now we're at a crisis with our recycling.
That's right.
Here in Columbia County, in particular, here in Hudson as well.
Yep.
Where, you know, because of what's happened with, you know, shipping things to China and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, China's refusing our garbage. Turns out they've been taking most of our garbage and our recycling. Right. And now we don't have the infrastructure to continue our recycling program. So we're like...
It's funny because
we're in deep doo-doo.
Right. Somebody from Westchester came up, and apparently in Pleasantville, they have this phenomenal recycling program. But what was clear is it required this incredible investment of an infrastructure to do that work locally. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it involves really separating things much more stringently than people normally do.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So well, I assume that's one of the things you're addressing in this.
Yeah.
In this.
Well, so we're going to be unveiling a biodigester that we invested in. This is one of CycleFX projects and investments. It is called a HORSE, which is a fancy acronym that I don't have off the top of my head, but it. Basically,
home organic recycling.
You got it.
Some close
organic recycling. We'll just keep it at that.
Okay.
But it's developed by a company called Impact Bioenergy, and they're based in Seattle. And we invested in them in part because we wanted to prove out anaerobic digestion locally in Hudson. And because in part we see it as a critical solution. Anaerobic digestion is a old technology. It's not new, but it is, you know, it's been around forever. But it's a very crucial and appropriate technology for this huge problem that we're facing, which is, you know, massive amounts of food waste and organic waste, you know, human waste, food waste, you know, and I should say, you know, I hesitate to even call it waste because I want to get people to realize that it's actually a resource.
Right. It's usable.
It's
usable.
It's energy.
Right. It's energy.
It's wasted energy.
As it says right here, how many banana peels can power a light bulb?
Yeah. Well, have you ever seen the movie Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Remember when he puts the banana peels in the car? Well, that's real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's actually what this machine does. Like, we can put banana peels and food scraps in it and generate biogas. Biogas is a fuel that if it is cleaned up, if you put it through a filter, it becomes natural gas. So, you know, so we're trying to promote anaerobic digestion locally here in Hudson as one of these like cornerstone energy solutions. Like this is me wearing my CycleFX hat, but we're cool with solar and wind. We're not against solar and wind, but we feel like it's solar and wind is not the only solution.
Right, there are other sources.
There's
of
other
energy
sources of energy
that we're not exploiting.
And the key byproduct or co-product of anaerobic digestion is a fertilizer. So anaerobic digestion has these two really key things that it does. You know, it produces energy that can be used for cooking fuel, electricity, hot water, vehicle fuel. You know, I mean, it's a very versatile form of energy. It can be a drop-in alternative to fossil fuels. And it also produces fertilizer. And it's a organic fertilizer. Right. It's not a synthetic fertilizer,
right,
which is a big deal, you know. And
you constantly hear people locally wanting to compost and get that used locally, and it's very hard. There are many impediments to making this work.
The main one is you know, people's reluctance to touch.
It's a machine of some sort, or
So it's in a 20-foot shipping container, and it consists of a feeding tank, a fermenting tank, and then a storage tank for the fertilizer.
So the idea would be a community would have one of these somewhere, and people would bring their stuff to it.
Yeah, I mean, the end goal in my mind. See, I'm thinking kind of big in this space. Like,
yeah.
I believe, like, if you were to create a kind of catchphrase for this whole transition that we're going through. The core axis of our economic activity is geared toward returning carbon back into the ground as soil rather than the oil economy, which is what we've been in, which is about taking carbon out of the ground.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sandra of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM, listener-aided and abetted radio.
Next, we're going to try to talk to the folks from Trio Zolo. I don't know if it's pronounced Zolo or X-O-L-O. We'll find that out first when we try to get them on the phone in a moment. They're playing at Hilo in Catskill on April 20th, and they'll preview that show on the radio next. We have one track from them here to preview the show, and we'll play that while I try to get them on the line on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Thank you.
All right, that is a track from Trio Zolo or XOLO. We're going to be at Hilo in Catskill on April 20th. And we've got Zachary Swanson on the line from the band. Zachary, how do you pronounce the band's name?
Yeah, it's Trio Zolo. It's an Aztec word, actually, which Zolo is actually a type of dog.
Oops, wait. We lost it.
The word Zolo just sort of seems like a nice word to use for our band.
It doesn't have any special meaning to you guys, or?
In this one, I just liked the word. I was looking into some Aztec poetry, and they have a lot of interesting, sort of phrases, turns of phrases that are different than how you use in language, but a lot of them are actually quite difficult to pronounce and spell. And Zolo, I thought, was a fun-sounding word that was on the easier end of the spectrum on that front, so we went with that.
Ah. So where are we talking to you from today?
I'm in Brooklyn right now, and the band consists of myself, Derek Michaels, who lives in Baltimore, Maryland, and Dalius Nacho, percussionist originally from Lithuania, but also living in Brooklyn.
And how long have you guys been a band?
We've been a band together for 3 years or so. The fun thing about this band is that because we all have sort of busy schedules and Derek doesn't live in New York, we don't play together super frequently. So when we are able to get a concert together, it's always, I really look forward to it. And it's the kind of band that we can come together after not playing together for a while and still make some really compelling music, and it always feels really connected.
And is this the first time you've come to Catskill?
Yeah, this will be the first time in Catskill for me personally and us as a band, so looking forward to it.
And you don't have a full record out. What we played before was the first track you sent me. Do you know what it was called, or...?
So we don't have a full record. That was an improvised piece that we recorded last month. Last month we went to a studio in Brooklyn and we recorded. So we will have an album coming out, and I'm not sure right now if that one will be on it, but that's just one that I picked for today.
And how did you guys get into jazz? Have you always been jazz players, or?
I started playing bass when I was pretty young, at the age of 6, and fortunately my parents are big music lovers. They don't play instruments, but so I was exposed to a lot of different types of music early on, and jazz was one of them. So in high school I sort of started focusing more on that, and then that's how I came to it. It was just being exposed to different types of stuff over the course of my life.
So what kind of stuff were you exposed to? What kind of stuff kind of influences you guys?
I mean, this group is fun because although I would say we are definitely in the jazz category, all Dalius, myself, and Derek really love different types of music. And I feel like when we play, different elements of that can come out. It can sort of sometimes sound like contemporary classical or there's rock or sort of folk influences. So it manifests itself in an interesting way. I think just the nature of the instrumentation, saxophone, bass, and drums, sort of firmly puts it in the jazz category. But I know that with these guys, it's like everyone's open to everything. So it's a pretty big range of music that we can pull from.
And what was I going to say? Do you improvise, or is it mostly composed works?
Yeah, it's all improvised, actually. This group has never played any written music together as a trio, or at times there'll be sort of maybe some minimal ideas, but for the most part, you know, 99% of it is totally free. It's different every single time, but that's sort of the challenge and the enjoyment out of this group for me.
Do you get one question that most people come up to you and ask you after you play, or is there one thing that people remark upon? Or
I would say that people do want to know about the name, because it's sort of a curious name, especially how to pronounce it. But other than that, we do get asked if we're playing, you know, written music, or how much of it was worked out beforehand. Probably those.
And do you guys play with or on bills with a lot of the other New York City free jazz improvising scene, or who do you guys play along with?
There's a pretty healthy amount of improvised music around Brooklyn. We've played at Bushwick Improvise Music Collective, which is a Monday night series, and they have a really great range of people coming. It's a lot of bands. It's 5 bands every Monday night, so it's a good spot to play. And then we were also on the A.E. Randolph Presents series, also in Brooklyn, which, they present weekly concerts of really high-level people from all over. We've been on bills with lots of people, and it's healthy to travel around with the group too.
Yeah, is the scene is healthy there? I mean, I know the rent prices are going up on all the venues.
True. Unfortunately, in the past 5 years, a lot of venues have closed, and really long-running legendary ones too. But what I can say is that, you know, there's a good number of house concert series, which I always really enjoy playing, as people are specifically there for the music. And I think the sort of more underground, not so much of a formal concert, but maybe a back room at a bar or something kind of scene, there are still people putting a lot of work into curating good music series at places like that.
And that is certainly true of here in Catskill at High Low, where we're broadcasting from now, where Trio Zolo will perform April 20th. What's your pitch to someone listening right now to try to get them to come out to your show?
I would say if you are a jazz fan, I think there's going to be a big range of music presented in that idiom from us. And if not, one thing that I always find about jazz, people that maybe don't have direct experience with it, is that when you see it in person, it's sort of a different listening experience, and you can really sort of get the sense of connecting to the space and connecting to the room, and there's just sort of a different energy about seeing it live. So I invite everyone to come check it out.
And do you guys have a website or that people can go to for more information?
So the band doesn't have a website, but my personal website is ZacharySwansonMusic.com, and Derek's website is DerekMichaelSax.com.
So no, you don't have anything online to listen to at the moment?
Not at the moment, we'll be putting out the album hopefully in the future, and then that'll be on our websites for when that comes out.
All right, so we'll play another track from you guys on the way out here to get people more sense of what you sound like. This one's called Free Nine. Do you want to introduce it?
I don't have much to say about it. Again, one of the things that we recorded last month, and this was the track that we recorded right after the previous one, so maybe it gives you a little bit of sense of continuity.
All right, so here is Free 9, I guess, is the temporary working title? Or is that's not the finished title?
Yeah, we will title them once we get everything in order.
Get it together. All right, but you may hear this song if you come out to see Trio Zolo at Hilo. Boy, that all rhymes pretty well. is it Saturday, April 20th, or Friday?
I believe it's a Saturday.
Saturday, April 20th. Shows here usually start around 8:30 or so, so get here in time. But here is Free 9 from Trio Zolo.
Thank you. You're listening to the radio. Stay tuned to the radio.
Gold is ages old for in your story. Give honk was thumping. Suddenly it walked, and then they got into something. Oscar played the mean sax. Mr. Byers blew a mean axe. Honk was thumping. Suddenly it walked, and then the joint started jumping. Every hipster, Billy the Bird's a guitar. Taking that note, nobody wrote, putting it down. Opie, he was screaming next to Dizzy, who was beaming, Mark was thumping, Curly and Walker, and then they got into something. Love it, 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 love it